Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day with life where Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for July 17th, 2019, looking at the first portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here goes. Brothers, I'm going to call your attention to the gospel that I preached to you. You received it, and you took your stand on it. You are also being saved by that gospel that was expressed in the words that I preached to you, if you keep your hold on it, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to over 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, the stillborn child, so to speak. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God's church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. On the contrary, I worked more than all of them. And yet it wasn't my doing, but it was the grace of God which was with me that did it. So whether it is I or they, that is what we preach, and that is what you believed. This is the word of our God. Here we are in the second to last chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and really chapter 16 is mainly just final greetings and housekeeping and instructions. So chapter 15 is the culmination of everything that Paul has been talking about to this point. And it all began back in chapter 1 when he says, you know, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but for those who believe it is the Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ crucified as a stumbling block meets its counterpart in Christ raised from the dead as the power of God. And yes, even in the Gentile mind, they still were obsessed with the ideas of some of their philosophers from the, you know, 100 or 200 years previously, that culturally they thought it was good to just be rid of the body. And you see how that plays out throughout the letter, especially back in chapter 6 and 7 when Paul talks about the godly use of the body. Their Greek mindset would say, why would I care about the godly use of the body? I can just do what I want. First of all, it's my body. Second of all, the body in and of itself isn't good. That's the Greek mindset, that the body and all matter is bad. And you want to be free of the body, and you want to move on from this body. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Which is to say, let's make most of the life that we have here and now. But it's also to say, it's okay to abuse your body because you want to be rid of it anyway, and it's a bad thing. That's the exact same thing that they had quoted Paul, or quoted to each other, perhaps, toward the end of chapter 6. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. To say that, you know, it's just an appetite, Paul. And God's going to turn this body back to dust anyway, so what's the big deal? And too much of their surrounding culture had crept into their mindset about life. So after addressing all of the problems and all of the issues, whether it's the loveless exercise of freedom or the loveless exercise of speaking in tongues, the godly use of the body or ungodly use of the body, rather, in chapter 6 and 7, which led to an improper understanding of marriage in chapter 7, the lawsuits, the bickering back and forth. After he's talked about all of those things, Paul says, let's go back to the very basic foundational aspect, the fact, the irrefutable historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what chapter 15 is all about. And what he's really saying is that the resurrection of Jesus turns everything upside down. It also turns their cultural assumptions upside down. And they think that they have progressed so far in their Christianity. And he's just saying to them in another way, just as he said earlier in the book, you know, back in chapter 2 or so, he's saying to them in another way that you cannot progress in your faith if you aren't familiar with the Word of God and the facts of your faith, because our faith isn't just some thought up, contrivance of the mind. It's not some just collection of principles or collection of actions to do or refrain from. No, not at all. Our faith is grounded in historical reality that has real import for our everyday life. I mean, that one of those is almost a pet peeve for an entire different podcast episode. The idea that that there is such a thing as Christian principles. You cannot reduce the Christian faith into a set of principles. You can reduce, dietary habits into a set of principles, or anything else in life, like how to back up a boat and go fishing. You could reduce probably to a set of 6 or 8 principles, but you can't reduce the Christian faith to principles, because it's not a set of principles. It's a set of facts that the Holy Spirit proposes to our hearts and convinces us are true. And so that primary fact among all of them is the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that fact is not, at the same time, it's not some mindless thing, as though we are unintellectual, unknowledgeable, backwards believers. Quite to the contrary. Paul says that, and the way he describes it here, is that the resurrection of Jesus would stand up in court. He refers to the various witnesses that he would call in support of the resurrection of Jesus. First of all, verse 1, I'm going to call your attention to the gospel that I preached to you. You received it, and you took your stand on it. And this is the equivalent of Paul standing up and calling the opposing defendant to the witness stand, or calling the prosecutor to the witness stand. He says, dear Corinthians, don't you know, haven't you realized that you yourselves have believed this gospel? And that is the first witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you heard it, you believed it, and you've taken your stand on it. And then verse 2, you also are being saved if you hold on to that gospel, unless you believed in vain. The reminder, you have already believed this, and why would you live and act in such a way that you would deny it? And so Paul says, well, verse 3, I gave to you the facts that have real import on your spiritual life, the historical facts that change our lives. First of all, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And he goes on to say that, the second witness he brings in is the word of God. And then the third witness that he brings in are all those to whom Jesus appeared when he had been raised from the dead. After he has said, Jesus did this according to the scriptures, well, verse 5, he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, over 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep, James and all the apostles, and to me. And he's like, go check it out. This resurrection will change your perspective on life. This resurrection is a historical fact with real meaning for your everyday life. And he says, this is the foundation of your faith, that Jesus did this. And so church life is about Jesus, and is about talking and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And there's every reason to be able to say, I will lay down my own preferences in service to the other. There's every reason to take our stand on the gospel that was preached to us, rather than trying to find some other gospel or some other message, or being led astray to some other idea. By the grace of God, verse 10, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. And Paul really, really concludes by saying, this is the essence of our Christianity, that chapter 1, we preach Christ crucified, and chapter 15, that crucifixion of Jesus led to the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus means that you also will be raised from the dead, which is every reason to live a godly, holy life now in service to our God, to give glory to God, and to take our stand on this gospel. You can find us tonight, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., 2250 South Holland Savannah Road at Maumee. Also, Sunday morning, 9 a.m., same place. Also, you can check us out on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.